I invite you now to stand for the hearing of the gospel. And this morning, the gospel reading comes from the gospel according to Matthew. It's Matthew's remembrance of Easter morning, the resurrection of Jesus. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy and loving God, we thank you especially for this Sabbath day that you've called us together to worship you. We thank you for your holy word and for the Easter story. And we thank you now for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, in the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. You may wonder what the most frequently asked question about Easter is. You'd be surprised to know that it's not a historical question. It's not a question about the validity of the event. It's not a question of the why, the theological importance of the day. It's not even a question of the how, a scientific question. How did Jesus raise from the dead? In fact, the most asked question about Easter is, what is the date of Easter this year? What is the date of Easter this year? What day do we celebrate Easter? Now, it's interesting because Easter is a movable feast. It's not like our Christmas that is always on December 25th, but the date of Easter is different annually. And that's because the date is set by the moon. It's set by the moon. In fact, Easter falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon, on or after the spring equinox. Did you get that? The first Sunday after the first full moon, on or after the spring equinox. As complicated as that may sound, it makes ancient sense, since it means that Easter coincides with the greening of the earth. Easter will always be in the spring. That doesn't mean we would always have a beautiful day like today. For some of you probably remember Easter Sundays when it was snowing. But the date of Easter coincides with our gift of spring. For truly, Easter is about new life. Christ is risen and the whole world seems to come alive. That's why so many of our Easter symbols are symbols of spring. The flowers, the butterflies, the eggs, and the peeps. Those are all symbols of new life. The earth truly has come to life just as Christ has been born to new life when the tomb is empty. We truly celebrate that gift of new life when we gather for Easter. Life has overcome death. The tomb is empty and Christ is alive. Most of you probably know that about Easter, that it's about new life. But you may not know all the details of that first Easter morning. And you might not know the why or the so what of Easter. What difference does this day make in your lives? Easter, as I said, represents new life for us. So we know that what about Easter, but few of us take time to reflect on another question, the so what question, the so what of Easter. Like the Christmas story, we have heard the Easter story so many times that probably many of you could recite it. But sometimes our memory gets a little fuzzy year to year. And just like the four gospel writers shared a little bit of different details, they all had the same truth in their gospel story. They all proclaimed that Jesus Christ was crucified on the day that we call Good Friday. And the truth was that Jesus was dead. All four Gospels are clear about that. Where they get a little fuzzy is what happened that Easter morning. What happened when those women came to the empty tomb? For us to really appreciate what happened that first Easter morning, we have to try to put ourselves back into the place of those disciples and those women prior to that Sunday morning, prior to that Sabbath. For truly, they had been traveling with Jesus for 3 years. They had put all their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. They had listened to his teachings. They had witnessed his miracles. Their hope for life, their hope for the future was all on Christ. And all of that was crucified on the cross that Good Friday. They were left with nothing but despair and doubt, fear, a sense of hopelessness. It was the worst time in their lives, for everything that they had believed was possible came to an end with the death of Jesus. The disciples had deserted him. They had fled for fear and they were in hiding. They were afraid that they were next, that they might be arrested. And only a few women and a beloved disciple stayed to watch that horrible death upon the cross. So much was lost. Their friends, their friend and teacher, their future and their hope. On this side of Easter, we know the end of the story. We know the rest of the story. But for the women, for the disciples, for the Romans, for the religious authorities, all they knew is that Jesus was dead and death was final. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book Home by Another Way, says this about resurrection. Resurrection is entirely unnatural. When a human being goes into the ground, that is that. You do not wait around for the person to reappear so you can pick up where you left off. Not this side of the grave, anyway. You say goodbye, you pay your respects, and you go on with your life as best you can, knowing that the only place springtime happens in a cemetery is on the graves, not in them. Resurrection was a completely unnatural event. They understood death, but they had never experienced resurrection. It was new to them that someone actually who was dead could come back to life. They didn't know the end of the story like we did, so they were filled with fear, not joy. The empty tomb was not a promise of new life for them. It still continued to be a symbol of hopelessness, of grief. There was fear that surrounded all of those who were left behind. In a devotional book that some of us have been using this year, this was one of the quotes for yesterday, for Holy Saturday. So for at least some of the followers of Jesus, maybe the worst day was the third one, Sunday, which for the Jews was like our Monday, with everything around them returning so completely to normal that it was impossible to believe that either his life or his death was going to make any difference in the world at all. For those women, for those disciples, it was as if death was death, and his life did not matter now that he was gone. That first Easter truly began in darkness. We know that it's darkest before the dawn, and that's when the women went to the tomb. And not only was it dark around them, it was dark in their soul, for they were filled with despair and hopelessness. And so they go in search of a body. They never once think that they're going to find an empty tomb. An empty tomb for them represents that someone has stolen the body. The body is gone. They never believed that the empty tomb would mean that what Jesus said about being raised would come true. They just expected a corpse. They expected a corpse. And the earthquake adds to their anxiety. And when the stone is rolled away and the body gone, they believe someone must have taken that body. Someone must have taken the body of Christ. Even the angels who come to them say, "Do not be afraid." And they declare the Easter truth to the women. "He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead." And Matthew tells us that they left quickly from that tomb, but they left with fear and with great joy. With fear and with great joy. Resurrection is unnatural. New life can be a moment of fear and trembling. New life can be frightening. And Jesus himself knew that fear could keep these disciples and these women from accepting the reality of the empty tomb. Fear could keep them from sharing the good news, and fear could keep them from rejoicing and accepting the hope that was born in that moment. Fear could keep them trapped in the past. Fear could continue to keep them filled with doubt and hopelessness and despair. The women left from the tomb with fear and with great joy. And they go to witness finally to that good news. If you know the Easter story in the Gospel of John, in that gospel, it's where we see Mary Magdalene, who has come to the tomb again in the dark, before the dawn. And she comes, of course, to anoint the body of Jesus. When she finds that the tomb's empty, she runs back to the disciples and say that he is gone. And again, the disciples think that someone has stole him, and Peter and the beloved disciple race off to that tomb to see for themselves. They don't believe Mary Magdalene. And yes, in fact, the tomb is empty, and they go back home. An angel comes, and Mary talks to that angel, and again, she is just concerned about the body. And finally, she meets Jesus and thinks it's the gardener. And again, she asks the gardener, "Where have you taken his body so that I can take him away?" Mary Magdalene wants that dead body. She wants to be sure that no one has stolen it. And then, in that moment, Jesus calls her name, calls her Mary. And she answers, "Rabboni, teacher." And she realizes now that Christ is alive, that the empty tomb has nothing to do with a corpse, but has everything to do with new life. Everything to do with new life. And she clings to Jesus. She throws her arms around him. And if you know that story, you know that Jesus says, "Do not hold on to me. Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, my God, your God and my God." Perhaps Jesus doesn't want Mary to hold on to him because he doesn't want her to stay locked in the past. Jesus is new. It's new life. It's not the old life. It's a new beginning. It's a new story. He doesn't want Mary to freeze this moment in time. He wants this moment to live on, to be a living story. He doesn't want her to hold on to the past, but look to the future with hope, not with fear, not through the eyes of death, but through the hope of life. The tomb is empty. Christ is alive, and that's our what of Easter. That's our truth of Easter. But what difference does that make? What difference does that make in our living? Is it just a wonderful story, centuries old, that we hear again, and then we go on as if nothing's changed? Is it just an opportunity to reflect on the gifts of spring and the promises of new life? Is it just our opportunity to come together because it's our tradition to worship on Easter? The so what of Easter asks us, what difference does that event make in our own living? How do we keep that story alive? How do we continue to be people of hope rather than people locked in fear? How do we make this a living story? The early disciples knew that the raising of Jesus from the dead was the main story about Jesus. In the scriptures from Acts that Nancy read for us this morning, the proclamation is about Jesus' death and resurrection. It's not about his birth. It's not about his teaching. It's about that miraculous, marvelous thing that God did when God raised Jesus from the dead, that Christ was alive and life would never be the same again. The disciples knew that that was the only place to start with the proclamation of the empty tomb. It was the source of life for them. It was the promise fulfilled. It was the assurance of hope for the living of their days. It made a huge difference in the life of those disciples. And Paul, writing to the early church, said that it should make a difference for us too, because now we should put our sights on things that are above. We should put our sights on the empty tomb and the risen Christ and that gift of new life and hope, not on things on earth, things that would continue to distress us. So what difference does Easter make in our lives today? How would we answer that so what question of Easter? If all today is a remembrance of the story, an obligation and a tradition, if all it is just a word of gratitude for springtime around us, then truly we've missed the importance of Easter Day. Easter should make a difference. Easter should make a difference that Christ is alive, not just then, but today and here with us. Easter should assure us that with God, all things are possible. And Easter should encourage us to live in hope, not fear. Easter should compel us to share the good news so that others have the possibility of receiving these gifts and this truth as well. Easter should open our hearts to a life of gratitude and abundant living. And Easter should keep us from fearing death. Easter should call us to a life of radically different life, filled with the hope and the joy of resurrection and the gift of new life. Too many of us live in great fear, and rather than embracing the hope and the joy that the empty tomb brings. This week, I found a poem that I think answers that so what question for some of us. And it's from a book entitled A Book of Uncommon Prayer by Kenneth G. Pfeiffer. And I'd like to close with this. And the prayer goes, Christ is risen. Thanks be to you, O God, who has raised Christ from the dead, and who with him has raised us from the darkness into light, from trembling into hope, from forlornness and forsakenness into acceptance and restoration. We are grateful, O God. Sometimes we forget and live as though the tomb were sealed and the stone in place, but on this day we remember, and we are ashamed that we live such unresurrected life so much of the time. Help us in remembering to feel the touch of resurrection within, to hear the voices of angels and the wild whispers of faith that because he lives, we shall live as well. We shall live with a new shining upon the dark places of hurt and heartache. We shall live with a new vision of what it means to see daily existence glimmering in the light of an eternal purpose. We see life not cringing in fear and abject in sorrow, but renewed in hope and assurance. We confess how often we are ensnared by the despair of this oft-times desperate world. We read of wars and of hatreds among people, of the death visited upon human spirits by the frustrations and angers of a world of conflict and injustice. We feel the tension of misunderstanding and estrangement. We touch broken places in our own lives, and we touch them gingerly, for the hurt remains and the bitterness lurks close to the surface. Our hearts lie abed from sheer inertia, and our spirits remain indoors with the shades drawn. We are afraid to venture out into life and into love. And then the cry is raised, Christ is risen. He is risen from the dead. And suddenly we feel the thrill and exhilaration of the Easter moment. So we ask, O Lord, this day for a new beginning for ourselves. We admit we have asked it before and then slid rapidly back into the old, unresurrected ways. But we ask it again. O Lord, make this day of day of resurrection for us a day of new beginnings, a day of new commitment. Raise our spirits from their tombs of selfishness and greed, from their burial cloths of pride and arrogance. Free us into the resurrection life our Lord has promised. Let us hear the thunder and the whisper, the trumpet and the far-off music of the life yet to be in Christ. Thanks be to you, O God, through the risen Christ. It's truly not just the what of Easter that makes a difference in our lives. It's the so what of Easter. How will Easter change your life? Easter made all the difference for those disciples. It's made all the difference for me, and I hope it's made all the difference for you. It should make all the difference in our lives that Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.